Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm John Thomas Hill, and today has been a week. Politico leaked a court ruling on a case in the Supreme Court this week. And apparently, the Supreme Court is about to overturn Roe v. Wade. I'm going to explain to you why this is a very bad idea. And why the very people who may be proclaiming themselves to be the ones who are doing God's work instead are not. So, after this brief message, we will get you to the show. Okay. Earlier this week, Politico leaked that the ruling in the case in the Supreme Court is about to come down about Roe v. Wade. And Samuel Alito is going to be the one that's going to have to answer for, hang on a second. Samuel Alito was the one that leaked this court ruling that's coming down. And my thoughts are like this. First of all, I think whoever leaked it is on the right side of the bench. I think the reason they leaked it was to prevent John Roberts, the Chief Justice, from moderating the opinion to where they don't officially overturn Roe v. Wade, but to uphold court tradition in doing anything but overturning Roe v. Wade. Well, apparently they're going to pull the trigger this time. Going to be some who celebrate it. Others who mourn it, get angry about it, and all this. I'm here to tell you that it's a very stupid mistake, and I'll tell you why. First of all these laws are aimed at completely destroying abortion, getting rid of it completely, even in the cases of rape, incest, or when the mother's life is at risk. And this is going to have some very, very, very bad, very bad consequences, because first of all, as I'm looking at something right quick, first of all, what about the mothers whose lives are in danger? Let's say they have a pet pregnancy that's not, that if they go to term with it, could potentially kill them. And that a normal doctor in a normal circumstances where Roe v. Wade was still the law of the land, the doctor would recommend an abortion. And the mother's life would be saved, the child would not, but the woman would be able to have more kids down the road. Now, the odds of the child living anyway are greatly reduced. The mother is in grave danger. And now we're finding ourselves in a situation where there is no winner in any of this. And that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. That is the problem, is that this short-sightedness is going to kill a lot of women in childbirth because that would normally have survived if given the option. Now, I'm not here to jump and say, oh, abortion is a great thing and all that. No, it's not. I don't like abortion. I don't think it should be used as birth control. And if you said, well, we're just going to stop it, we're going to allow it in cases of rape, incest, and when the mother's life is in danger, and when there's a clear evidence that the child is simply not viable outside of the womb, then that's fine. I'm fine with that. And yes, even to an extent, I'm not fond of it being used as birth control, but if it keeps. In my opinion is this. I'd rather not have a child come to this world unwanted, unloved, neglected, or seen as a burden, a unwanted burden. That's my opinion. There are a lot of people who have this belief that, you know, that every child that comes in, saved from abortion is going to be loved and somehow, some way change the mind of the mother. Maybe in some cases that will. The vast majority of the cases, you're going to have kids that are resented, looked down upon by the very people that give them birth. Now, how that ratio is, I don't know. But there, even if it's the minority, it's still bad. And another thing, first of all, there's no guarantee you're going to stop any abortions by making it illegal. There were plenty of abortions before it became legal. There will be plenty of abortions afterwards. The police are already strained to the point right now. Do you honestly think you're going to be able to stop all the abortions going on? Yeah, you'll get, occasionally you'll get somebody that tips off somebody else there'll be a raid and there'll be some people going, hey, we got this evil abortionist and all this and send him to jail for a very long time. And what have you exactly done? Here's the thing I've always said. Are you really saving a child or are you just condemning a child to poverty? That and potential abuse and potential death down the road anyway. And part of the opinion that Alito wrote along with Barrett, I think that's her name, said something along the lines of, well, we need more children for other parents to adopt. I'm not the world's greatest expert on adoption, but from what I have understood over the years, there's plenty of kids out there to adopt. It's just that they're not wanted. Why are there so many parents going overseas getting adoptions? It's not that they're not children here to adopt. It's because the red tape is so much. And plus, most parents who are adopting want to adopt an infant, or at the very least, a young toddler. They're not going to want to adopt a child that's already in school or middle school or especially high school, when there's plenty of them out there to adopt. They just don't want to adopt them. And the truth is, there are a lot of kids in foster homes who are not exactly in the best of situations because some of these foster parents look at it as a money-making opportunity. Welcome to capitalism 101. How do we get out of this? How would I, if I had the ability to make the law about abortion? I'll tell you in just a moment. So what would I do if I were in charge of the country? If I could make the law the way I saw fit? First of all, I would have it legal all over the place for one specific reason: to make sure that a woman could go into an abortion clinic, sit down with a counselor, and be able to talk about their options. All their options. It is my view that if you sit them down, simply explain to them what all the options are before abortion, what kind of resources they can take advantage of if they decide to have the child, and the ability to get counseling and advice. We in this country, for some reason, seem to think that if you get pregnant, you're all on your own. Unless you happen to get lucky and have a really good family that will support you and have a good husband or wife, if you're a lesbian, to support you. That's not always the case, ladies and gentlemen. Now, people say, well, if women would stop getting pregnant, stop having sex, well, here's the thing. It takes two to tango, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe you ought to tell your sons not to just go out and try and knock boots with the first lady they see on the street. Takes two to tango. If you want to stop abortion and think, well, we need to stop all the premarital sex, go right ahead. Good luck to you. It ain't going to happen. That's been out of the Pandora's box for a long time now. So here's the thing. Legalize it, have abortion clinics in every county and several in every county. Have it to where a woman goes in, gets the advice she needs, but can go home and knows that she can go back in, say, 48, 72 hours to get an abortion. She has time to think about it. the resources and all of that. No pressure, just simply a time to think about it. Or you don't even have that. Just have them sit there for an hour, find out the resources they want to, or if they decide to proceed with the abortion, they go through the procedures and they have one last chance to say, okay, I decided against having an abortion. If she has it, it's on her. You've done everything you can to prevent it. Secondly, we need to have a social safety net for young mothers. Yes, this goes against a lot of what a lot of folks believe in this country. But the truth of the matter is, you want to prevent abortion, you want to prevent unwanted pregnancies, you have it to where if a young woman does get pregnant, it's not seen as a tragedy. It's seen as, okay, it's a bump in the road, but we can overcome it. We have to get over this perception that getting pregnant unexpectedly is somehow ruining your life. It is a detour, yes, but that does not mean you can't still go to college and get your degree and get the career that you want. It means it's more challenging. We should support our women when this happens to them, not shun them or mock them or shame them and all that. Just admit, hey, things happen. Okay, we'll work on it. We'll help you out. We'll get you delivered news. There are a lot of folks who seem to think women get pregnant just for the sake of, you know, getting child support and all that. Look, my mom left my father because he was an alcoholic. Never got a dime of child support by the courts. Okay? It would have been nice if he did. And I don't know if he gave anything to my mom for us or anything like that. That was something we never talked about in our house growing up. But the truth is, I feel this way for one simple reason. It's not my business what happens between a mother, a prospective mother, and her doctor. Because I don't know the whole circumstances behind what's going on. I don't like abortion, but I understand there are circumstances where it's necessary. I would rather not have a child come to this world unwanted, unloved, neglected, seen as an unnecessary burden, and potentially abused physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, whatever. But there are some folks who have their heads in the clouds thinking, oh, well, it'll change a woman. She'll see the light. She'll become a Christian and all that. That's not always the case. It's like begging for a miracle. Miracles don't happen all the time, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they're called miracles. And it just baffles me that people seem to think that we can do that. I'm not one of these people that thinks, oh, abortion in every case should be legal. I think it should be legal in cases where it's clear that the woman's not ready to have a child. I think it should be in a case where the woman is too young and was a victim of a sexual predator, rape, sexual assault. What rape is sexual assault, essentially. Or incest. Or if the mother's life is in danger, or if it's simply put, the child is not viable outside of the womb. And the opinion of a doctor that the child has a condition that, simply put, will not allow that child to be viable outside of the womb. Meaning, as soon as that child's born, it's dead. And for some reason, you have these politicians and their benefactors who think that this is such a great thing. It's not. Abortion's not a great thing. There's no winners in any of this. But we're not approaching this problem in a pragmatic way that actually solves anything. There's a lot of dogma going around. There's a lot of stuff that really does not get to the point of, do we want to focus more on the quality of life and not just the quantity of life? Now, I have not necessarily a conspiracy theory, because I don't consider it a conspiracy theory when it's plain as the nose on your face as to why so-called pro-life anti-abortion movement is the way it is. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm not a conspiracy theorist in any way, shape, or form. I've often thought that gone along the of the idea of Benjamin Franklin, a conspiracy between two people is possible, between three. It works until unless it works when you kill the other two people. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is pretty much, there's plenty of evidence to showcase this. When Roe v. Wade first came down in the early 1970s, 1973, I believe, the Southern Baptist Convention actually were okay with this because to them at the time, they considered life beginning when the child takes their first breath. That was 50 years ago almost. What changed? Politics changed. Politics changed because in the late 70s, after Gerald Ford lost to Jimmy Carter, Republicans were tired of losing. Republicans were tired of hearing about Watergate. Republicans needed something to win on. Jerry Falwell and Newt Gingrich, among others, gave them the ticket. Turn against abortion. It was part of their so-called moral majority. They went after pornography, which is an easy target. I'm not a fan of pornography, but, you know, back then, and I remember this while I was a little kid, they used to actually have it right there on the magazine racks with the other magazines out in public. You still had to be of age to buy one unless you had a not so, shall we say, conscientious clerk at the counter. But here's the thing. The moral majority was never about morality. It was about power. It was about political power. It was about using morality and Christianity, evangelical Christianity to be specific, to power the Republicans to power, so to speak. Poor choice of words, admittedly. What it did was it allowed the Republicans to rally the flag around them as well as the cross in a way the founding fathers never wanted. There is a reason why we have the freedom of religion clause in the First Amendment of the Constitution. There is a reason why in law there is this thing called the Establishment Clause, which means to prevent the government of the United States of America from establishing any kind of national religion. And I firmly believe that for one simple reason. When you do that, bad things happen in history. Now, if you're a rather homogeneous culture that has some tolerance like England, England's official state religion is Anglican. I'm sorry, Anglican. I have trouble saying the word. It's basically their version of Episcopalianism. They worship, it's sort of like Catholicism without worshiping Rome and Pope, the Pope in Rome, okay? What was I saying? Okay. Anyhow, religion and politics should never mix, but unfortunately, the last 40 years or so, they have mixed and mixed badly. And unfortunately, what we've seen are some of the worst examples of why politics should never mix with it. It brought about Donald Trump, who is someone who any reasonable person could never say is actually a religious person in any way, shape, or form, unless it considers worshiping himself. It used to be that religious people, religious pastors, religious organizations stayed above politics. They saw politics as being beneath them, beneath God and such. That changed. And you had evangelical pastors like Jerry Falwell, who I despise because he's a hypocrite. who was a hypocrite. He's no longer with us, of course. And others who basically who took money and gave it to politicians to support this agenda, which historically most Americans oppose. Or at the very least, it's 50-50. And there may be a little majority support. There's no overwhelming support to overturn Roe v. Wade. In fact, it's always been a significant majority of Americans that have opposed overturning it by keeping it legal. Restricted, yes, but keeping it legal. But over the course of time, the current version of the Republican Party have made themselves into the party of God, at least according to them. The Democrats have not done a whole lot to change this because the Democrats, unfortunately, have the habit of deciding they want to be the big tent party without realizing that in order to win elections, you need to win the most votes. And that being a moderate party that's okay with religion, not, you know, here's the thing. If the Democrats want to win the House, defend the House and Senate and win them back, they've got to be a centrist party. There's no doubt about that. And I hear progressives saying, oh, if this so-and-so candidate had been more progressive, they would have won. Here's the thing. Progressivism right now is not winning you elections. You have to go to the center. You have to bring in the moderates and independents, which almost always in every election are the reason where elections go. Okay? If they break for you, more often than not, you win the election. Now, there are cases, like around here, that moderates and independents may go full bore for Democrats, and they still lose because they're simply outnumbered by Republicans. It is what it is. But here's the thing. I say that a lot, admittedly. If you're going to win this election, you have to put forth an abortion platform that recognizes that not all Americans are going to agree with abortion in all cases. You need to put forth an amendment to the Constitution that says that abortion is legal in the case of the mother's life being in jeopardy, rape, incest, or other sexual assault, and if it is clear evidence that the child is simply not viable outside, would not be viable outside of the womb because of a certain medical, because of a medical condition that makes it to where the child could not live long outside of the womb. There's a reason why they call it pro-choice and not pro-abortion. It's choice. I'm pro-choice, not pro-abortion. I don't like abortion. I see it as losing human potential. A lot of people have come from nothing and made something of themselves. But I firmly believe that it should be in the decision between the doctor and the mother. And that it should be, the mother should get the proper advice to where all the options are laid out before abortion. And that she has the ability to get the support she needs should she choose not to go through with the abortion. And just simply saying, well, we'll just put it up for adoption. It's 9 months, ladies and gentlemen, to have a child. That means you're going to miss work. That means you've got doctor's bills. It's like, and I keep hearing, well, they shouldn't support the, they shouldn't have gotten pregnant. Here's the thing. Stuff happens. How many I've known plenty of conservative women who've gotten pregnant unwantedly because they thought the condom was going to not break or their birth control was working. And by the way, I was going to end it here, but I'm going to finish this up right now and I'm going to talk about the next thing they're going to go after. But to wrap it up, yes, I do believe there is a quote unquote conspiracy theory that Republicans have been wanting to have used abortion to get for votes for a very long time. And they don't care about abortion, actually. They just use it as a political football. Now I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back and tell you what they're going to go after next. Finally, it's this. If you told me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that there would be a movement in this country to get rid of contraceptives, I'd have laughed in your face. Once upon a time, yes, there were conservatives who didn't like it, but they were mainly Catholic and very much on the right thing. Once the birth control pill came about, legalization was going to happen. Now, with abortion looking like it's going to go out of the way, certain conservatives are going after contraceptives. Louisiana has moved a bill stating that to outlaw IUDs, so to prevent girls from terminating pregnancy by preventing conception to begin with in the first place. It's starting. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is this fear some conservatives have that we are losing white Anglo-Saxon Protestantism in this country, or WASPs for short. They are afraid that whites will be in the minority. Well, I hate to break it to you. Despite their best efforts, within my lifetime, if that is, if I live to be to the 2040s, which is 20 years away, there is going to be more minorities in this country than white people. And for some reason, this is seen as an apocalyptic event. And I still don't understand it. It's numbers, but it's the perception. It's a way to scare people. That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. That's the problem. They go after contraceptives, and they will go after gay marriage. And there is rumblings that they may even go so far as to go after interracial marriage. If you had told me even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, that a political party in this country would go after interracial marriage and think they had a chance of actually pulling it off, I thought you were crazy. But with a Supreme Court leaning their way, it looks like they might very well do that. And it should scare the hell out of every patriotic American. Because what's next after that? Civil Rights Act? Desegregation? What's next? They like to talk about the good old days. The truth is, what they're talking about are days when whites were on top and blacks and Hispanics and women were second-class citizens. That's what they're talking about. The 1950s are seen as a golden era, but not so much by blacks and Hispanics and women and such, because it was not such a great time. The 1960s saw the beginning of women's liberation, civil rights, and plenty of other socially progressive movements. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. In the 60s and 70s, and to a certain extent, 80s and 90s, we saw the results of that progressive movement that went all the way into the 2010s with the legalization of gay marriage. Now we are seeing the equal and opposite reaction. Reactionaries are on the march. Will they succeed? Well, this is not necessarily physics we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We can prevent the pendulum from going back all the way where it once was. How we do that? I wish I had some ideas. Sadly, I do not. My hope is that this Supreme Court ruling is moderated by John Roberts, despite being leaked, and he says, we'll pull it back a little bit more, but we won't overturn it. That is the hope. My belief is that most of the Supreme Court justices would be okay with abortion with restrictions, like I have mentioned. But there is a certain zealotous few who want it under no circumstances, and they do not understand the forces they are unleashing by doing that, the kind of problems they are creating because of that, the kind of problems we haven't seen for generations since Roe v. Wade came down the first time in 1973. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time. I expect to get a few people listening to this. Thank you for your listening. Have a great day.